Well, first of all, it's nice to see that there are actually a lot of interested people. This is new stuff, so I'm going to see what you think about it. Can you hear me, by the way?
Oh.
Is the mic okay?
No, good.
It's on.
Is it on?
You can fix it.
Yeah, you can.
Is this better?
No.
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 Engineers and technology.
Got something.
Best or at least for current license.
Is this one working on you?
Hi, can you hear me? Good. Hopefully we have all our technical problems now, so we can move on. So, I was saying that this new thing called ItemViews is probably something that you guys are going to use a lot in the future. So, I'm going to try to tell you about it. I'm going to give you guys a brief introduction to Model View Controller, the pattern. I guess that at least some of you are familiar with it, so I won't go into depth there. Then I will explain some of the concepts that we use in the Q4 ItemViews. And then I will show you architecture, how those concepts map to class names and inheritance hierarchies. And then I will move on to the cool stuff, which is code and examples. Hopefully all that will work, so let's go and see what Model View Controller is. Basically, this is the definition you can find in design patterns. Model View Controller is basically the idea of having three kinds of objects to show your data. You have your model that contains the data, and you have your view that shows the data on screen, and you have a controller that maps user input to data changes. So I have a very simplified figure here that shows how this sort of hangs together. Of course, in real life, this is much more complex. But you can see here, we've got the model. Actually, I want to start with the view that presents the data and receives user input that basically is forwarded to the controller, and the controller maps it to data changes in the model, and the model notifies the view of any changes. One of the big benefits of decoupling data and presentation like this is that you can actually have several views on the same data. I'm not showing the controller here, but you get the idea.
to discover while creating a swing GUI library. This doesn't always fit. It's not always practical to follow this pattern to a T. So, and we actually have the same discovery. So we changed it a little bit, and now we're over to the concepts. So we actually have four components in our design. We have the model, and we have the view, but then we have something we call the delegate. I will explain more about this as we go along, but we also include the selections as one of our components. I'll actually move directly. Yeah, here we go. This is how we sort of put them together. This is also very simplified, but you can see that the model provides the data and signals the view to update itself, and the view will call two other components. I will explain the view first, very briefly. It handles user input. It does the item layout in the view. Then it calls the delegate component for drawing and editing of single items. We have actually separated out the drawing and editing of single items from the view and made it its own component. The view also calls selections to do selection of items. So we have separated out selections from the views. Then, of course, each view implements view-specific behavior. You have things like in a tree view, where the tree view will have special code for showing branches, opening and closing branches, and stuff like that, that other views won't have. Then we move on to the one thing I think you guys probably think is the sort of new thing here compared to the model view control pattern. That's the delegate. As I explained, it paints each item, and doing that it also performs internal layout of the item. By internal layout, I mean that if you have an item in, say, a list view, you typically paint that with a pix map on one side and text to the other side. But you could also imagine painting an item with a pix map on top and a text at the bottom, like we do in an item view. So that's what I mean by internal layout. The delegate, being the one that paints the item, also gives sizing for each item and provides an editor for the item. Now the editor can be a widget, but it can also be just the delegate handling events and doing any necessary changes based on the events that it receives. Of course, when you scroll around or resize the view, someone has to handle the updating of geometry or the editors. That is also part of what the delegate does. Okay, this looks a little bit bad, this thing. I had scaled it a little bit, but the idea here is to show that here the paint function would be called 10 times in the delegate, and it would, so you see here 10 items. Now the model. This is the part that handles the data and gives notice to the view. I will explain a little bit about how we think about data when using the model. Basically, we have a set of conventions that we use to access the data in the model, and the model works from our perspective as an interface to the data structure behind, and we don't want to give any or put any restrictions on what data structures you have in your model. We only define the conventions on how the views or any other component that uses the model access those data. So the convention we use is tables. Basically here I show two tables. They're flat the data structures, and we basically look at lists as a table with just one column and several rows. And a two-dimensional data structure would be a normal table with several columns and rows. Now, the more complex part of this will be when we introduce hierarchies to this. So, the way we look at hierarchies is basically as a hierarchy of tables. I will try to spend some time explaining this because this is an important part, and if you can get your head around this idea, you basically understood the idea we have behind the models. So what we have here is a table, the green one. That's our top level table. It has just one column at this, in this example, and two rows. You can look at this as a list of two items if you want to. Now, the first item in this table has a table of children. That's the blue table there. That table only has one item. And the first item, in this case the only item in that table, has a table of children, the yellow table. And you can see to the side here how the tree structure would be if you have used the normal tree structure notation for this. To access this, we have the concept of a model index. This is a very small, lightweight object we use, so that you can pass around and use in other places. I will show more of this later, to have as a reference to a piece of data in your model. Basically, in the table, the model index will contain a row and a column. But when we get to a hierarchy, it will contain some other pieces of information to indicate where in the hierarchy it belongs. A model index can have a parent, as you can see here. You can see that the red table here is the table of children of the red item. And the index to the gray item will have a parent, that is the red item. Now we're moving on. We've managed to access a piece of information in, or actually we have managed to access a cell in the model, an item in the model. But each item in the model can contain several pieces of information. Typically, when we have item views, we have both a pixmap and a text. Of course, this can vary. You can have either, or you can have more than that. And to get to that, we have defined data roles, which is basically a way to access each piece of information in the cells. So here you can see that we have a few predefined roles. Actually, we have added more roles lately, so this is a little bit outdated. But we define a display role, which shows the main piece of data that you want to display, typically a text. And we have the decoration role, which shows typically a pixmap. We have actually in some examples a model that returns a Boolean value for the decoration, and then the delegate will interpret that and draw that as, for example, a check mark. We have edit roles, and that's sort of an important difference from the display role, because this is the piece of data that will show up in an editor. You can imagine a spreadsheet where you open up a line edit and you don't want to see the value that you are showing normally, but you might want to see an edit, a formula that actually is used to basically calculate the display value. We have a few other roles like tooltip and status tip. And what's this? And auto selections. Now that we actually have separated data and presentation, we can also separate out selections, because selections are basically data. I mean, we can define selections as in data, in model indices, as in our case. As you see here, we manage selections in items, and the selections also manage the current item. The selection will basically give notice to the view to update itself when the selection changes. And this, yeah, here you can see how we define selections in ranges in the tables. So this is supposed to be a little bit colored, but you can see that we define the top left and the bottom right item for each selection range. And of course, the top left and bottom item will be in all indices. So here we have two ranges in the same table. Now we get to the architecture, which is basically the class hierarchy here. Now you can see that in the views, we define first the abstract item view, which is the basis for all the views. And then you have the header views, list view, table view, and tree view, which are the generic views. I'll get closer, or I'll get more detail into what they are. But you also see that we have a layer of header widget, list widget, table widget, and tree widget. And those are what we call the convenience views. Those views do not use, or actually they use, but they hide the model view concept for you. So you will use those views as you would with the item views you have in Q3 today. You don't have to use the model view pattern if you don't want to. We also have the delegates and the model, as you can see, and you see that we have the abstract item model, we have the abstract list model and the table model. The list model and table model are subclasses of the abstract item model that have been basically created to ease the implementation of simple models without hierarchy. You can use those if you have a model where you don't want to care about hierarchy, you just have a simple list that you want to display. And yep, here we have a thing that basically explains, so we can go through as to this. And we can actually move on to the example. This goes faster than I thought. So, first of all, I want to put you at ease and show you how to use the convenience views. This is basically how we use a simple table widget where we set a single item. You can see we just create the table, set the dimensions, and create the item and set up some stuff on the item, like the background color, text color, and the text. And you can also set font and item. So let's see how this works. Now I had to change my laptop just before this presentation, so we just have to hope that this laptop agrees with my code. Okay, the Pixmap doesn't look good, but at least you can see one item with slightly larger font and background color and text color. So if you can compare the font. But at least you see we have one item. That's basically what I wanted to show anyway. vote. Very interesting. And now for how to implement a very minimal model. I mean, when you go through the concepts and try to sort of get your head around it, it might be a little bit daunting. But actually implementing your own model is very simple. Here you have basically a little model, a small model that will give you a list of items, and you really only have to implement two methods, the row count and the data. You can see that we get the model index and a row in the data function and return a Q variant. And the implementations are also very simple. Let's see if we can scale that a little bit. There we go. Basically, for row count, we return 10. I mean, could be any number, but 10 is as good as any. And then you see the data function, which basically just checks if the role is the one we want to return. Display role in this case. And then return a string. If it's not the role, we just return an empty variant. And this code will actually give you German keyboard?
US
keyboard, yeah. Let's see. Oh. It's really tight. Here we go. The minimal model. There you go. Simple list view with 10 items. Doesn't show the selection very good. That's good. But you see 10 items. That's just for a few lines of code. So now I want to show you how to share a model and a selection between views. So what we do here is basically we're creating here actually I forgot a new in the first line, so this won't compile. But what we would do is to instantiate the model, and the qubit model is actually one model that we ship with qubits as a ready-made model that you guys can use on your views. We will probably create a set of models that you can use to start. Then we just create the views here, and we set them all on the views. We create a selection, and in the next lines, let's see, make this smaller. There we go. We set the selection model on the selection. No, sorry, on the views. So that's how we share the selection and the model. Thanks. The result of this should be, I noticed by the way that it didn't grow the selection very well. So maybe here's the Lars's home directory, by the way. You don't see the model here. No, sorry, the selections. Seems like the selections are broken in the version Lars has in this machine. So I'll only show you the sharing of the views. The sharing of the model between views here. So you can see here, this is a preview of Lars's home directory. And here you only have a list view. So you can only get the flat list of his files in the home directory. Here we can actually navigate through the hard key. So. And for last example, we have a sort of augmented version of the plasma model that we shipped with tech review 1. And I add this here just to show you how we can create a model that updates itself and also shares or how to create a new delegate, how to paint the items differently. And I think we have it here. I'll show you the thing first and then I can show you how it's created. Yeah. Basically, you have one model that updates itself, and you have two views that show the same data in two different ways. You have one view that basically draws pixels to show the plasma, and then you have another view that shows the raw data that the model gives you. So, as we can see in the selections, it's hard to show that they also share a selection model, but they do. So, how did we make this? We have the plasma model here, which is a very simple model. It's a table model, as you can see, and it basically requires us to re-implement the row count and the column count, and data function. Also, for updating the data, we have the timer event. One thing that I forgot to tell you guys is that the model is a queue object, so it can receive events and, of course, send signals and have slots for all things that a queue object can do. So I should probably show this full screen. So, implementation. Basically, row count and column count are trivial. And then the data. Basically, I return a color value here. The value function will get basically a value from a table and store it internally in the model. And it's not very advanced. The thing that's important here to show you is actually the timer event function. What we do here is we calculate the colors and then we emit the data changed signal. That's a signal in the model that tells the view to update itself. And you can see that we emit the signal with a top left and a bottom right index to tell the view where the data has changed. In this case, the whole table has changed, but in some cases you want to limit the area that is updated. And I mean this is interpreted by the view in different ways. The view might update just a little part of the screen or just a sub-branch of a tree or something. And now for the delegate. Now the plasma delegate is a very simple delegate. It basically requires us to re-implement two functions, the paint function and the sizing function. So the paint function is fairly simple. Let's see if we can look a little bit there. There you go. So as you can see, we get in a painter a style option, which is basically a structure telling us a little bit about the style of the item, whether it's selected, whether it's active, enabled, and a few other things. You see here, we use the style option to check if the item is selected, and if it is, we draw it a little bit differently. The one thing you want to take a look at is this line, where we get the data from the model. So basically what we do is we give the model an index and a role and ask it to get the data for us. And then we convert the variant to an integer. And then we do some stuff on it to actually get the color values. I mean, we could have converted this to a queue color and used that instead, but that's not very important. So, and then the rest of the paint function is basically just drawing a rectangle with that color And the sizing function is even simpler. It's just a matter of returning the size of our cell. So, that was fast. Any questions? Scott?
Yeah. You've been warned, I hear.
I have.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Not sure if I need this. Usually not, just enough. Just, first, because I could go on with this for a while, but I probably won't. When I sent something into the G4P list recently, and you mentioned the convenience classes that are going to be added, I noticed that you reused that term when referring to the item cube subclasses, those are item cube.
Yeah.
Are those the convenience classes you've spoken of, or are there yet more coming?
No, those are the classes that I spoke of.
Okay.
See if I can.
Then you're in trouble.
okay.
Right now, honestly, just looking at them, and I've tried out all four, there's not a single one that maps to the most common usages of list you like things in KDE.
The ones you have tried out are the ones in the tech preview, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Okay, the convenience classes were not part of the tech preview.
The
ones that were part of the tech preview. Whoops. You warned me, but still. The ones that were part of the tech preview are what we call the generic classes, the ones that use the model view pattern or paradigm.
So you're talking about the top row there? Or?
This is sort of, yeah, the top row here, or second top row. But the convenience classes, the ones that we refer to as convenience views, are these ones. They will have their own internal model, and they will have items that you set on the view. Basically, you don't have to know that they have models at all. You just use them as you would with the old views.
I'm wondering, though, just looking at them, assuming this is an inheritance I recognize in some way, appears to be.
True.
Looking at the four of those, I don't remember cube header view. That might have been the one that I didn't look at, and I might be missing it. But there was nothing that mapped, for instance, a simple flat list with header labels and multiple columns. You had tables, which selection was item-based rather than column-based, row-based. There was the list view, which is more like a queue icon view today, I think.
That's something that's good that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Actually, because we have done some changes in naming here. People have to sort of. It's a thing that you have to get used to, basically. The header view is self-explanatory, I guess. I mean, it's a header. This view is actually what you would expect it to be. It shows a list. It was usually what's called a list box in Q3. It's also actually the view that would sort of take the place of icon view, because basically you can think of, I mean, a list is just a one-dimensional data structure, and the difference between the list box and list icon view was basically just layout and the way you draw the items.
Yeah.
So, I mean, combining those two was actually pretty natural. Tree view is the one that used to be called the list view,
yeah,
which is, I would think that it's actually pretty intuitive. It's the reason why you guys react to it, and I did in the beginning too, is that you're used to thinking in Q3 terms.
Definitely, and I'm probably one of the people that's most entrenched in kind of the Q list to K list view today, which is probably why I'm one of the more annoying people on these things. But actually, having looked at these four, the abstract ones, not the real convenience classes at the bottom level, there's still not a single one of them that maps to, I have five columns, each has data, I want to set the header for every data, for every column, and I want row-based selection. That's the most common use of the list.
Well, actually, you can. I mean, it's not as simple as just doing that in the view. What you do is, basically, the headers are defined in the model, in that you have now the functions called header data and I think but you have also row count and column count, which would define sort of the dimensions of your view. And if your view has a header, it will have the number of header sections that would correspond to the column count.
Okay, and that would be a cube header view, or?
Yes, I mean, tree view, for example, will already have a header view internally.
Yeah, it does.
The reason why I have header view sort of separated out here is that you can set your own header, you can subclass it, you can use it for your own view.
Is that one of the first technology to it?
Yes.
Okay, that's the one I don't remember. Yeah.
This.
Actually, if you need an example of this, have a look at the print dialog, the tech preview one. There I implemented a model and I'm using a tree view which does exactly what you are looking for.
Okay.
It's something like
that,
50 lines of code.
Yeah, well that was the issue, so I started looking at some of the things I had done in Q3 and trying to do them with the first row. So not working with the highest level of abstraction, but even at the second level, some of these things were 200 lines of code. And that was a notable step back for the very simple cases of, I have 20 items, they're in 5 columns.
Yeah.
We have these all over the desktop right now.
I mean, the idea here is that you would use the convenience views when you just want to show 10 items very quickly. And where if you want to show thousands, hundreds or thousands of items, you use the generic views because they give you the flexibility and the speed to show those amounts of items.
Yeah. Has there been any thought on, I'll shut up and ask for a minute, give someone else a turn. Has there been any thought on the bottom level of actually virtualizing the creation of the model so that you could start with a pretty simple, say this QList widget, as an example, have a virtual function or something like that, so that you could actually get into the model creation. But if you just wanted to tweak a small thing without a full subclassing, not being very precise here. Let's say, for example, you want a QList view widget, something that just a list of stuff. You want to modify a small property. In Q3 terms, you would just subclass what you're working with and re-implement in the function. What I'm a little bit worried about, though, is that if you want to tweak something at all, so you either have the default or you have the full Monty in a sense. If the creation of the model items or the various architectural components you were virtualized, you could then go in, re-implement that, come up with a small type of thing. Okay, Aaron probably can word this better than I can, so we'll let him try.
Yeah, it's actually been asked very similar, just to completely exhaust the topic. In particular, one of the things that happens commonly is in today's list view, the tree widget, which one, painting for individual cells is subclassed, or there's a subclass of this view item just to mock with the actual painting of a cell. To throw an icon somewhere else, or to throw multiple icons, or do something crazy like the fade in, fade out effects of the V. With this, we've got the tree view and the tree widget. Is it possible to use a tree widget and define your own delegate that just handles the painting so you can get the same idea?
That's
good.
Yes. So really the question is, at what point do you have to fall back to the raw tree view?
That's
a very common example, right? Is the repainting of the
cell. I mean, it is, and that's one of the things that we thought of. I mean, basically we thought that you guys want to do, I mean, in most cases, the common case is either you want to change painting or any other thing with the item, which usually require you to subclass items.
Painting and sorting.
Yeah, or you want to change the data, set the data, and you have to do that by creating items and inserting them into the view. And we solve those two things by either, I mean, having a model that you change, that would change the data, or you change the delegate, which means you change painting or editing or any other thing.
You change the delegate in the tree widget.
You can, the
tree widget.
Yeah, the widgets or the convenience views have their own default delegate, but you are free to set your own delegate if you want to. Nothing so, is,
and
I mean, here.
And sorting is another issue.
Sorting is another issue. That's, I mean, currently we have sorting in the model. We have been thinking about having sorting in the view, but that has its own problems. So we're looking at that.
Okay, yeah, that'd be the big thing, just being able to take a problem in the sorting, the painting, as long as you can plug them in and out of the tree, the widgets, table tree widgets, etc.
I mean,
that
a fascinating idea.
Yeah,
one thing that's sort of cool is the way Java does sorting. They have one sorting objects, so you basically just plug it in and it does sorting the way it's sort of.
Yeah.
So we've been thinking about something like that, but we haven't really decided yet. Basically.
Yeah, I just have a little bit general comment on all these discussions. I mean, you're very much focusing on these item-based convenience classes because that's what you're used to from PS3. And according to all our experiences up to now, it is often, and that's very often, easier to implement the model than to use these item widgets. Because you have to create these items, fill them with the data in your own code, whereas the other one is just, I mean, you take your data, your own representation of the data, and you just put a small model around it, which sort of gives back the data to the view. I mean, that is just, I mean, the widget convenience classes are there, so you can use what, to continue using what you're used to. But it's for most, I'm not saying every, but for most things, it's easier to use a model, and we will provide some convenience models, for example, like just a model which operates on a string list, which is a very common case you need.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of dialogue like, where you select something from the list.
Exactly.
And those you don't want to have to write three subclasses.
And that would be then two lines of code. You just instantiate the model on the string list, you use it, you use a list view on that one, and you're done.
And that was the fear looking at the safety eye the first time. It looks very powerful for advanced applications, say, KML. You know, there, I mean, you're doing something where you definitely want this sort of flexibility. That's a clear kind. There are probably a lot of things in between where you also want this. But for a simple dialogue, where, and we have a lot of these, really a lot, where maybe have one column, two columns, 10 items. I was afraid that you either have the default, the bottom level, or you're stuck, you know, writing subclasses. And there was no reason.
As I said, we will have quite some, we will try to implement the sort of the most common cases also as models. So, because the item-based things have their own disadvantages. But, I mean, for that means things are rather flexible.
But it's also one aspect.
More flexible than the Q3, actually.
There's also one other aspect of this, and that is that we hope that after a while, you will actually find a set of ready-made models that you can just pick from somewhere, just plug into your view, and use it. That will be a very powerful concept to actually have me use like that, and not have to write the code every time to insert some piece of data into your view and show it.
Yeah, well, and I presume we will have that in KD4, so and that's why I'm trying to understand some of these things.
No, it does take some getting used to, but once you sort of learn how to use it and get used to it, it's surprisingly easy to write something with it. And we discovered that in Germany in Q2, that once we started to use it, it was even more powerful than we thought, actually.
Just another question. Let's say I have a model which doesn't fit your hierarchy of tables. For example, if you have a graph or say a C++ class model of with multiple inheritance, so you have multiple parents, and I want to use your view concept. Let's say I also provide my own view. What should I do?
I mean, basically there is a limit, of course. I mean. But I think that the hierarchy of models is about as generic as you can get it. I'm not sure if, I mean, you have a graph that will easily fit that concept. And I can't think of any structure really that couldn't be sort of mapped to a hierarchy of models. I haven't seen it yet, at least.
Yeah, could you have multiple parents?
I think multiple parents are basically impossible to do. I mean, there's no way to really graphically represent that in something like an item-based widget or something which shows this. Usually what you do in this case is, I mean, is if you mentioned the inheritance hierarchy, you turn it around, basically.
Exactly.
So you show the parent class, superclass as children in the new, and then it works.
Okay, in my application, I draw the call graph of programs, and here I simply use Remy graph view, and
yeah.
Here you have multiple parents. So
sure, but I mean, you can look at it like this. Let's see here. If we go back to the directory tree is basically a tree, but as you can see here, we have items for the dot dot item in the directory, and there's nothing stopping you from going in full circle there and opening up and sort of looping back into the parents. The view doesn't care. I mean, it only gets items that it perceives as being children of the one item. So how you handle that internally in the model is up to you. So you can show a graph in the tree view. It wouldn't look, I mean, you wouldn't want to do that because you wouldn't get the overview, but it's possible. Other questions?
I was going to ask about column node browsing. The macOS 10 finally got columns going from left to right, and you click on the column on the left, and then that opens up. It's like opening a node on a tree, but you can only actually open one node on any one level at one time. It's rendered like a cube table view. So what I'd like to see is a cube browser view. Have you thought about that?
I can't say I have, but...
The original Smalltalk class browser looked like that.
Yeah.
They invented MVC, so nice to steal a few more things.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a very nice view, but I think this might be something that the KDE people would want to implement.
Yeah, Conqueror with Conqueror browser would be brilliant.
Yeah, we provide the basic widgets for them to play with, and there's no reason why they couldn't extend it.
Could it be a key table view? Can you restrict it to being maybe one node being opened?
Probably. I couldn't tell you unless I tried, but I couldn't see any reason why it shouldn't be like that. So, I mean, anything is technically possible if you have the time and money to do it, but it's just a matter of trying.
Can you provide an estimate about the memory usage? Imagine a very large spreadsheet with just containing floats or whatever. How much memory is required for all the references and the indexes and so on?
Well, actually, I mean, the views store almost no data at all. I mean, the table view, for example, stores no data.
I'm talking about the model.
I mean, the model is entirely up to you. And if you're talking about the convenience model, it is fairly memory efficient because it stores only a zero pointer for sort of cells that have no item, and the item itself is fairly slim. But if you want to be very efficient, if you have large amounts of items, you would want to go up to the generic level and implement your own model. And there, the view has almost no memory overhead per item, and the model can be as memory efficient as you want it to be, or can make it.
And the second thing is, if I understood correctly, you said that sorting should be done in the model, not in the view. I'm wondering how this concept fits with the idea of the selection, because typically you want to do the sorting and selection, not of the whole model. Might force you, if you have that multiple views of the same model, that you somehow need to copy the model.
I mean, that is something we're sort of discussing internally, because it's a matter of efficiency too. If you have a view on a database, typically it's more efficient to sort in the database, and so you would do that in the model. But
the problem is with the multiple views, just think about it like in your example, like in this file browser. You have different kind of sort ordering.
Yeah.
Okay,
Yeah, I mean, you can still do sorting in the model. We do that. We have a file dialog based on the QA model that does that. But we are discussing internally whether to do sorting in a view. That has some penalty where you have to do mapping between this sorted list or something. So
I think what he was saying. For instance, if you have two views, say this and you want to sort one way and one
but not the other. Yeah. Basically, then you would have to do sorting in a view, and I mean,
I think
as I said, we're discussing it and we see the need for it. We haven't implemented it yet, but it is something we see the need for. So
would it also be possible to do it in selection?
Sorting selections. How would you want to do that?
So the selection is only indices, nothing more.
True, but I mean, a selection as we see it outside the selection model is just a state if an item is selected or not. So. Other questions? Sorry, can you speak up? I want to.
Another question relating to competency of the list view. Quite deeply nested items in various tools where you've got different concepts and you use the right-click and you have the press tabs also there in the delegates, if I understand correctly.
Actually, if you have a context menu, that's handled by the view. That's basically because we want to as much complexity, as much of the complexity of things in the view, because that's the one thing that you probably won't surpass. You want to surpass either mods or delegates before that. So yeah, but you can start the context menu. We have functions for that.
We'll be able to get down into the
You want to sort of create a context model, sort of context menu based on the item that is clicked on. So, am I correct?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, you can do that. I mean, we have pretty fast functions for finding the item that you click on. So I don't see any problems with that.
That's great. That's what we need.
One thing that we just came up in our little powwow there. it seems that from the item model, or the model the way it's currently organized, there's only a mapping to parent relationships but not child relationships. So you have only the ability to go up a hierarchy but not down a hierarchy.
Well, actually, I mean, of course, you have to get a model index from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And the way we do that is that you give in a model index, which can be invalid, which would mean the top level table. Or a valid index, which would mean that you would get an index that would be in the table of children for that index. Do you follow me? I'll try to find the slide.
Yes, certainly. I'm sure there's a bit of here. So there is actually an index per item of the children.
Yes.
Okay. Could we missing one? That was the only thing that was clear. I didn't remember this from the API.
I mean, I will be here during the hacking session, so I will be in the area and you can grab hold of me again.
The memory here from Q3 again, the famous issue that I've complained a lot about, that it's very fast to go down a list, but you can't go up a list. Going up a list per item is big O of N, like.
Okay.
And so I was making sure that you could. Now thinking hierarchically, that you can go down a hierarchy, up a hierarchy, at roughly the same
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, that of course depends on the implementation of the model.
Yeah.
So.
You always, I mean, anytime you have to take a you want to a big old one.
My question is about the model item.
Yeah.
Is there a kind of iterator?
Currently, we don't have iterators for models, but we have plans for that. So. So what you will probably see that you have iterators at some point. It's a very natural thing to do. Other questions?
All right, well, thank you very much. All right, we're going to take a short coffee break here for about a half an hour, and then David Power is going to give us a very awesome talk about abusing QT. So come back for that one, and that will be our last presentation for the day.
Thank you.